the psalmist says, may the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. As we come to grips with the action of faith, learning to call out to our Heavenly Father with the same ease, love, and contentment as one can do toward our earthly. So we have come to seek the kingdom and abide in the will of our God in the word and sacraments that both have created and are bestowed in his church. This is what we have seen Luther revealing in the first three petitions of the Lord's Prayer. That this is how we see our good and gracious God working in and for this world. That his kingdom comes and his will is being done when he places us finally in the outcome of the Son's Easter victory by a faith that is created, held, and sustained in the grace of the Holy Spirit that he gives through these means. We might say that the beginning of the Lord's Prayer is there to remind us of the second and third articles of the Creed that we have studied. That, to borrow a phrase from Albrecht Peters, in the Thy petitions, we are praying for our faith and the forgiveness, life, and salvation it receives. But now as we move to the fourth, beginning the Our petitions, we are, as Professor John Pless notes, being driven back now to the first article. Drawn back not only to remember what it means that in his fatherly divine goodness and mercy, our God provides all that we need to live each and every day, but finally now to learn, and this is what the petition is doing, to receive such things with a thanksgiving that is rightly placed. And so, as Peter notes in his commentary on the fourth petition, that what it is doing is not merely reminding us that we receive our bread from the invisible hand of the Creator, but it's teaching us to grasp in with and under the daily bread our God's fatherly goodness. That's what Luther says in the Large Catechism. That here God is wishing that we pray now for the goods we have in order that we might recognize that we receive them from his hand and may feel his fatherly goodness towards us in them. And so this is why, as Luther begins his explanation, as we read in the Catechism, he sets the stage like he has done with the first three, although he does add an addendum. For he reminds in a very way similar that God gives daily bread without our prayer. Just like his kingdom comes and his will is done without our prayer. But here, he changes it a little bit. Reminding us that God gives daily bread, not just to the church, but to all people. This is why he adds that little word, evil. God gives daily bread even to the evil people as a gift. And this is a word Luther says it gives us to remind us to understand just why we are praying for these things. Because this is the truth. It's as Jesus said himself, God makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. And so the first thing the fourth petition is reminding us that God is the God of this world, the God of all people, whether they know it or not, whether they believe it or not, whether they like it or not. And so it could be said, on the one hand, this is where unbelief and ingratitude, especially in our postmodern so-called scientific world, falls so flat on our faces at times. Since God gives these things, our daily bread, our house, our home, our land, family, neighbors, everything, Luther says, to everybody, whether you like it or not, whether you believe in him or not, no wonder this leads some people to say that there really isn't a God out there. Since he gives it to everybody, so there isn't anything else. This is why some people seek to prove God's existence, demanding that he do something supernatural. But of course, that's ignoring the facts. That's never been the way it's been. God created the world to support life, all of life. And that didn't end even when sin entrance destroyed it. And so even though most of the world doesn't acknowledge or thank God properly, God is still the God of steadfast love and mercy. The God who is great, as we sang in the psalm, clothed in splendor and majesty, rejoicing in his works. And not even sin and its destruction is able to change him as he is. Which makes sense, Psalm 104, perhaps being written, we might say, to draw to mind those who do end up talking much like the Israelites we find in Exodus 16 today. For Moses sets the scene. This event takes place the 15th day of the second month after they departed Egypt. Meaning it hasn't been very long that they just went experienced the 10 plagues, a miraculous Red Sea crossing, and just before this, the bestowal of sweet water at Marah. Yet here they are, barely a month living as the free and redeemed children of God, whining and crying, bemoaning and grumbling, as Moses says throughout, against God. Mumbling and grumbling against God about how awful it was, how much better it was back there in Egypt, and they wanted to go back to the meat pots, forgetting about all the wailing and crying they had done to God for the last 400 years while they were there. That's why Moses says they were complaining not against him and Aaron, but against God himself. They were refusing to believe that God was there in charge, making sure that everything would be seen through the end. And even when they get the manna and the quail, verse 20 tells us they wouldn't listen to God's instructions. And then we know later on in the Pentateuch, they will start to complain about that bread and quail that they were getting every single day. Whining and crying that we have nothing to eat and we are sick of this stuff we're eating, or even lying to themselves. But you see, this is what the fourth petition, this is what the fourth petition is doing here. When Jesus taught us to pray, he's teaching us to not simply learn to acknowledge where everything comes from, but actually is calling to guard ourselves in forgetting to thank him for it. That's why Luther notes that God gives daily bread to everyone, but here we are learning to receive it with thanksgiving. Because the nature of our sin is the same as back in Israel. This is why unbelief is the original sin. For we are a people who begin to look around and view everything according to what we have, and think that we have gained it by our own hands, works, power, effort, and ingenuity. And when we do that, we are finally saying that there is no God outside of ourselves. And too many people end up making God simply a phrase, a tagline, acknowledging he's out there, but not really thinking he's that concerned or involved in our lives. Maybe that's why at the end of this very positive psalm today, we have that ending verse, let sinners be consumed from the earth, let the wicked be no more. That really he's praying for the end of sin and leading the world astray, believing in ourselves than pretending that we are God. That's why Luther will say in a sermon he wrote and preached and on Exodus 16, notes that when the flour sack, he says, is empty, then the idle squire belly rears up and announces that he cannot wait while our Lord delays. But you see, we're not that far different from our ancestors in the past. It only takes a little bit of inconvenience and we're already crying and whining as though God has left us behind. And so when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, We are finding, as John Pless says, a recognition that is giving birth to thanksgiving. And then that thanksgiving finally is leading us to Christ. Because that is what this petition is actually doing. Teaching us to receive everything we have as a gift from God. And as we do that, then we will begin to see how these gifts point us to a faith that understands that if God is providing what we need for our each day, just how much more is He really concerned about what giving us what we need eternally? That's why if you look in your hymnal, that list on the small catechism, it includes everything that allows us to live and to live comfortably, fully, and thankfully. That the petition calls us to see that everything we have and see, from the bread on our table to the cars that we drive to the friends that surround our lives, even to the governments that rule over us, that these are gifts from God. That's why Paul in Timothy today calls Timothy and the church to give thanksgiving to the kings. And of course, Paul is writing this probably sitting in a Roman prison, and the Roman king Caesar is about to take off his head, yet he's praying for him. That's why Luther says when we pray this, we are actually praying against the devil. Because his thoughts and desires is to deprive us all that we have from God and to hinder it. That the fourth petition is calling us to place our faith and our peace, our understanding and comprehension of everything around us, not in what we see or have perhaps, but in the fact that it's been given to us. And it's when we start to give thanks to God for the food on our table, the roof over our heads, from the job that we have, to the fact that even it snowed this last week. And some of you lost electricity, didn't you? Even that, you see, these are creations of God. And you are to receive all things with joy and happiness, contentment and gratitude, receiving the grace, mercy, and love of your God who made, sustains, and keeps all things for you according to His mercy and rightful knowledge. And when we begin to do that for these earthly things, well, then the spiritual falls in line and becomes even more. And so as Paul ends his little words here to Timothy, he reminds us not only do we give thanks to God for the earthly things, but most especially for the salvation that we have been given. That all of our good words are good and pleasing in the sight of our God and Savior. Because this God and Savior doesn't simply give bread to all, but ultimately wants, Paul says, all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the true truth. And this recognition is done, you see, when we begin to look out upon our lives and instead of seeing what we have or might not have, what we are an abundant or are supposedly lacking in, but we begin to say, thank you, O Lord. Simple thank you for what we do have been given. Realize that it's even the very breath in our lungs, the sun over our heads, even this privilege of being sitting here today and worshiping on a Sunday morning is a gift. And when we do that, you see, we begin to learn what it means to be the desire of God, to be the people of God. And so the church, and this is where Luther is also very interesting. He says, God gave the church the Lord's Prayer so that the church prays for the world and keeps the world turning around and everything coming. Because it's only we truly who understands the fullness of our God's work. And so we who have lived out from the life, this new life that has been bestowed upon us in our baptism, a baptism that we just witnessed with little Declan here this morning, that we now find as our lives are wrapped and held up in Christ, we enter into the history of God's people. knowing that as we have been saved through the waters of God's works towards us, we are living a life that is heading towards the promised land, and this life will be sustained even in the wilderness of this world. That faith lives in the fourth petition, knowing that as we have been brought into the kingdom of God's will, everything, and now we understand that everything is under His control. For our God is the God of the beginning and the end, as it says on the Alpha and the Omega. And if that is true, everything then in the middle, which includes right now, is held and sustained. I want to end today with a few lines from Luther. As he preached on the Sermon on the Mount, a text that I almost chose, but I know we've preached it before. He reminds us of how we are to receive things. And so when he talks, when Jesus says, look at the birds of the air, right? They neither reap nor sow, yet they are content. Luther says, look at what the little birds do. Their life is completely unconcerned. They wait for their food solely from the hand of God. Sometimes people cage them up to hear them sing. Then they get food in abundance, and they ought to think, now I have plenty. I don't need to be concerned about where my food is coming from. My barns are full. But he says they don't do that. He says when birds are free in the air, they are happier and fatter. Their singing of lauds and of matins to their Lord early in the morning before they eat is more excellent and more pleasant than any other song. Yet none of them knows that of a single grain that is laid away in store. They sing a lovely long songs and leave their cares to our Lord God, even when they have young that have to be fed. And then he says, whenever you listen to a nightingale, you are listening to an excellent preacher. He exhorts you with this gospel, not with mere simple words, but with a living deed and an example, that he sings all night and practically screams his lungs out. He is happier in the woods than cooped up in a cage where he has to be taken care of constantly. It's as if he were saying, I prefer to be in the Lord's kitchen. He has made heaven and earth, and he himself is the cook and the host. Every day he feeds and nourishes innumerable little birds out of his hand, for he does not merely have a bag full of grain, but heaven and earth. Now Christ says, every day you see before your eyes how the Heavenly Father feeds the little birds in the field without any concern. Can you not trust Him to feed you as well? Since He is your Father and calls you His children, shall He not be concerned about you, whom He has made His children and to whom He gives His word, and all creatures more than the little birds, which are not His children but your servants? And He enjoys it as they fly around and sing. And so he says, this is an excellent illustration that puts us to shame, that we should listen and receive all things like the little birds. That's what it means to pray the fourth petition. That we pray for our daily bread, knowing that our God will already provide, for he has promised to. And if he promises to provide what we need for today, well, as Jesus says, we do not worry about tomorrow, because the same God that's there tomorrow is the same God of right now. Amen.